Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. When a crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. Birds of the air devoured. Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded a hundredfold." As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears, let him hear." When his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root, and they believe for a while, and in time of testing or affliction they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soul, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience." On Sunday afternoons, we're going to be going into a series called Straightforward. All right? It's going to be looking at simple elements of the gospel, simple elements of the truths of Jesus and the truths of God. And Jesus explains them in very simple terms. There's no better teacher than Jesus that we have, so it's a good idea to stick as closely as we can with what he says, because he is the master teacher. All right? And our text has this thread of truth that goes all the way through, weaving in and out of Luke chapter 8 the entire time. And it's summed up for you in Luke chapter 8, verse 18. And this is what Jesus is talking about. In all these parables and all these times of teaching when it comes to him and his disciples, this is what he's trying to get across. Take care how you hear. Take care how you listen. And in the verses surrounding this text, Jesus explains the ways that we are to be careful to listen. Because it's not just listening. Jesus says it's about how you listen. And it's not just you hearing. It's how you hear. And it's not just you paying attention and giving attention to the truths of God, but what you do with the instructions. I'll give you an example. I watch a cooking show all day long. It doesn't mean I'm going to go in the kitchen and cook you a five-course meal. I can watch hunting videos on YouTube or listen to Kane talk about duck hunting for the last 3 hours. I can listen to all of that, all right? I can listen and I can listen and I can listen, but that doesn't mean that my freezer is going to be any more full of meat or that I'm automatically going to be a connoisseur of duck fat next Tuesday. Doesn't mean, just by listening to things, that I'm going to actually do something with what I'm listening to. And I want you to have this in your head as we go through Luke chapter 8. And that the kind of hearer that you are will expose the spiritual condition that you are in. How you hear the word of God will tell you where you're at right now. And it even tells you the maturity level of your faith right now. Because how you hear and how you listen to what God says is seen and manifested in what is produced. Let me say that again. How you listen to the word of God is seen and manifested in what is produced in your life. In Luke chapter 8, verse 9 and 10, there were those who were following Jesus. They've been following Jesus for a while now, listening to Jesus, listening to the words, just paying attention to Jesus and every word and every truth that he says. And they wanted to know what his words meant. They've identified as disciples of Christ. They have come near Christ. They are following Christ. And they want to know more about the truth that Jesus speaks. And that's great. And that's good. That's part of the process. That you seek to know more about what you are hearing. But Jesus says that's not all. Just listening is not enough. Just listening is not enough. Just thinking about the message is not enough. And thinking the message is interesting is not enough. Jesus says hearing is not enough. You know this. If you've been in the church for any amount of time, you know that we've probably gone over at some point in time the five steps of the plan of salvation. Now you know the first one of those, like hear. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, but you've got to hear in order to have faith. So, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hear by the word of God. Is that where we stop? Is that the first, or is that the only part when it comes to salvation? It's just the first part. That's not where you stop. You have to hear, but that hearing has to produce something, right? We understand this in the principle of the five steps of the plan of salvation we've gone over a lot of times. So it's not just hearing that you have to. It is something that is more than hearing. Back in John chapter 6, all right? And this is a little bit before Luke chapter 8. Many of the disciples who were walking with Jesus in John chapter 6, I'm talking about the apostles, just all of us who were coming to him every single day. A lot of those disciples, after listening to him, walked with him no more. They were listening to what Jesus said. They were listening to his truths. They were listening to his conversations. They were listening to him explain things. And when he got to a truth they didn't like, they didn't want to hear it. We know that Judas was even a part of this group that was constantly being taught by Jesus and constantly studying with Jesus. But even Judas didn't hear the words of Jesus the way that he should have. There was something that failed to produce in the hearer, not in the words, in the hearer that fell short. It's not the person who's speaking the truth, it's the person who's listening to the truth. There is something that has to be produced when it comes to the truth being given to you. There's something that has to be produced when it comes to the truth being given to me. And it's not that I have to just hear it. It is something that has to happen after that. So it's important that we kind of use this as a litmus test. How we listen to God's word. What do we do when we hear God's word? Because Jesus gives a warning in this text. Beware how you listen. That's how it's translated. Beware how you listen. Because the focus is not just on listening. The focus is not just listening to the words of Jesus. It's on how we listen. Not just on hearing, but how we hear. Because how you hear the truths of Jesus will show up in your life. That's the whole point of the parable of the sower. How you hear the words of Jesus will show up in your life at some point in time. Now, go back to Luke chapter 8, and we'll go through this parable. I have nothing really to add to this parable because it's so simple and clear and to the point. I just want to go over the parable so that you know what Jesus is talking about, and we can look at this text. Be careful how you listen. Be careful how you hear. So let's look at the parable of the sower. All right, Jesus spoke. A sower went out to sow his seed. Very simple concept, right? Very simple illustration. That the people who are listening to Jesus would have probably seen the day that they were there. It's a very simple illustration that you could look out over the countryside when you were listening to Jesus and you were probably walking home from where you were listening to, you could probably see all the things that were happening as they were happening. Jesus was speaking, and then you look out and see this happen. So, a sower went out to a field. He's getting his ground ready. The rows would probably be plowed and furrowed, and the farmer would take his little leather pouch, and he would broadcast his seed into these furrows that have been plowed, and he would broadcast the seed by hand. Farming has changed a lot over the last 2,000 years. And I'm glad that it has, because to carry around a little sack of grain and to broadcast it with your hand into a single plow furrow does not sound like I want to do that all the time, you know? But the ground is worked. The concept is the same. The ground is worked. The field is prepared. The seed is planted. Now, the picture of the parable goes from this landscape, right? This panoramic view of this field that's been plowed and the furrows are tilled. And it zooms in to the hand of what the farmer is doing. And as the farmer is sowing his seed, some seed fell along a path that was trampled underfoot and the birds of the air devoured it. Now, remember, the whole thing about this is be careful how you hear. Be careful how you listen. So the sower is sowing the seed, and some fell along a path or amongst the road. Well, that's kind of weird when you think about it in an agricultural sense, because where are you not going to sow any seed? You're not going to sow any seed in the road. When we think about it in our mindset, you're not going to go out there on the asphalt in the parking lot and say, I'm going to plant my garden right here. So it's weird that some of them would just throw a bunch of seeds out of the road, because obviously it's not going to come up. And obviously, if there's any bird that's around, it's going to be like a wedding when you throw a bunch of stuff. And the birds are going to be like, whoa! One of the things that we don't understand, it's lost in the 2,000-year translation and culture, is the way that people traveled back then. Right? There were no cars. There were no paved highways. Well, I guess you could say they were all moving anyway. People walked wherever they went. They rode some kind of animal. They pulled a car. There weren't many main roads that even went through the entirety of the New Testament landscape. There was like one main road, and it was like a very treacherous one. But anyway, the rest were basically walking paths. So I want you to picture it in your mind. The way that fields are cut up today, if you look around, there's fence rows still that are cut this way, and there's another field that's cut up that way. Imagine a footpath that was that fence row, and you have the first century.
Around every field, and the fields weren't this size, all right? Around every field, there was a path that cut through from this corner to that corner, or by this fence or by that fence, or by this gate or by that gate. And they were all over the place. So imagine every field being surrounded by this hard, compacted footpath. Neighbors used this trail. Strangers who were going through the countryside, they used the trail. You know, the visitors that were coming around, they walked the paths that were on the outside of these planted fields. So they were basically squaring off or outlining the entirety of the fields and the landscape that you would see in the first century. Historians write about these paths that they have uncovered. They were usually about 3 feet wide, and they weren't farmed. And you can imagine over time, these footpaths would become like concrete because people were constantly walking on them. It was constantly baked in the sun. They were pounded by hooves and, you know, wheels on carts. And if you were to accidentally or somehow drop a seed onto one of these footpaths, it would be the exact same as you dropping that seed out on the asphalt. Because not only are the birds going to come by and eat that, but also there's so much foot traffic that the Bible says it's going to get trampled underfoot by all the traffic. So the seeds would fall on the edges of the field. They never produced anything. The ground was too hard for these seeds to go into to produce anything when it came to the seed. But also, the ground was so hard that it stayed on top of the point that the birds in the air would come and they would pick those seeds up. And not only that, when someone would walk down these paths, they would trample it underfoot. So that's the first kind of soil. Second kind of soil. Remember, these are things that they could see very obviously as they would walk back home. The second kind of soil described by Jesus, this is a very simple, very clear description, fell on rock. And as it grew, it withered away because it had no moisture. Now, once again, this is lost in the language of translation for 2,000 years. If you put a seed on top of the rock, what is it not going to do? It's not going to sprout. So obviously there's more to this phrase than just, I'm going to put a seed on top of a rock. So just to kind of give you some background on this, I'm talking about like when a rock, have you ever planted a corn seed and that little spike comes up and there's a rock that's right beside it? You know what happens to it? It kind of gets all gnarly because the sun bakes that rock and it gets all hot and it kind of makes everything weird when it comes to that little spike coming out of the ground. This is not what I'm talking about. If you were to go over to Palestine, where this parable was told, all right, the countryside where Jesus was speaking, this is not talking about this little stone or a rock that was in a field, all right? There are other places, even in the Old Testament, where the farmers in that region, whenever they would find a stone, they would take it out of the field, and they would actually go to the edge of the field and build a wall with all the stones they would find in the field. Now, if you could build a wall with all the stones you find in the field, how many stones have you picked up? A lot. If you could build a tower, which some of them did in the Old Testament, you could build a tower with the rocks that you removed from your field, how many rocks have you moved? A lot. So they removed all these stones every year. It's not talking about these little stones that you pack out of the field, all right? This is something else. When you go over to Babylon, you will find these gigantic limestone slabs just under the surface of the soil. And you don't know where they're at. And you don't know how deep they are. And there might be just a little bit of soil covering this gigantic slab of limestone underneath the surface. Now, you know what happens when you have an inch of soil over a slab of limestone? See, when you plant something on top of it, it's going to sprout up. But what's quickly going to dissolve from the soil? Any type of moisture, because it's on top of a rock. So you have this thin layer of soil on top of this gigantic slab of limestone. Think about an iceberg of a rock just a few inches underground, and you plant on top of it, and it looks great. And then after a while, it starts withering, and you find out that you have this gigantic slab of limestone underneath your soil. So imagine a boulder underground covered by 2 inches of dirt, and that's the picture he's explaining here. And there's just enough moisture in the soil that when that seed starts to sprout, it begins to generate life. And it sends roots down. It can only send roots down so far. And after a few periods of growth, maybe a few leaves start to sprout out, it will wither away because it does not have the moisture. And it's blocked by that limestone slab under the ground. Both of these soils that we have talked about, the footpath soil that's trampled in another foot, and the limestone slab, both of these are very well known to anyone who grew anything in the land of Palestine, in the land of Jesus. Now, the
third time the soil described by Jesus is when the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with the seed and choked it. Luke chapter 8, verse 7. I don't know if you've ever pulled a thorn bush out of the ground. And I would not recommend it without gloves because it hurts a whole lot. If you come in contact with a saw briar and you want to pull it up, I would not suggest that. I was just doing a job. But anyway, if you ever pulled up a briar, you understand very quickly that these are not roots that are small. They just keep going. And you can pull up a whole root ball of thorn over here, and you could miss this one right here, and the next time you come through, especially in the summertime, what's right there again? Another thorn, right? And another sprig, and another sucker is coming shooting out of the root that you thought you had pulled up or cut out or tilled in. If you've ever had locust trees on your property, I guarantee you there are still locust trees on your property somewhere. And you know what I'm talking about. Because you can get rid of an entire root ball of a locust tree, and there is one little half-inch sprig of a root, and the next time you come there, guess what's there? There's an entire, you know, thorny locust tree that has made its way out of whatever hole you've made to get that big old locust tree out, and now it's going to grow a new one right in its place. The whole root system of a thorn has to be removed in order for anything to grow. Because when you have an established root system, now just think about this in common sense terms. You have an established root system that is already in the soil. It's dry, right? And you have an established root system in the soil. Which is going to grow faster? A seed or an established root system? You have an established thorn of a root system and it rains the first time. Guess what's going to shoot up out of the ground a whole lot faster than that, whatever seed you planted. So you have these established root systems. The farmers these days have done all that they can to remove the weeds and the thorns, but there's always something under the soil. There's always something there. And these suckers are ready to surface and fly out of the ground. And when that first moisture hits after planting, the roots, the balls of those thorns, they suck all the nutrients out of the soil of the seed that you just planted in the row and kill the seed. Not only because they suck the nutrients out of the soil that's right there, but also because they grow so quickly they actually choke the plant out. And then from sunlight, from all the things that they need, when it comes to water. So what Jesus says, be careful how you listen, and this is the reason why. You gotta wait for the punchline. Jesus is painting your picture. Jesus isn't done. It's not all death and decay when it comes to this farmer, because if it was all death and decay, he would not be a farmer anymore. There's a fourth soil in Luke chapter 8 and verse 8. Some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you speak in that type of language right now? Lord has blessed me 100-fold. How's your cattle doing? Well, the Lord has blessed me 10-fold. If I were to talk to you like that, what would your face look like when I said that to you? Who is this, like a British guy? The seed that fell on good soil, no thorns, no slab of limestone beneath the surface, no compacted, beaten, you know, hard concrete footpath. This seed grew, and here's what the Bible says: it produced a crop. Do you notice what happened in the first three that happened in the last? All the first three never produced a crop. They never matured to the point that they produced any fruit. This was good soil. It produced. And here's the thing. It's not just any crop that it produced, but an amazingly abundant crop that you could not possibly imagine. With the advancements in genetics and fertilization and soil nutrients and tests today in agriculture, it's amazing to me that one kernel of corn, on average, and there's other varieties that produce more than this, if you believe it, one kernel of corn, on average, field corn, can produce 1,000 kernels of corn. On you. One kernel of corn. Now, mind you, just, you know, understand. One kernel of corn. 1,000 kernels of corn on average. There are actually some that produce up to 1,450 kernels per ear with one kernel of corn. Now, you take one grain of wheat. And you put that one grain of wheat in the ground, it produces 50 kernels on the head of that wheat. and 1 pound of wheat. That is a million of a loaf of bread, kernels of wheat, and one bushel. We don't talk about terms of fold anymore, fold, like 60-fold, 100-fold, but it has to do with multiplication of what you put into the ground. That is how they calculated their harvest. The multiplication of what you put into the ground and what you took out at harvest. As far as history goes, a 10-fold crop is taking what you had in that leather bag as a farmer, and you were selling, well, let's say it's 1 pound, all right, and you can carry on with anything. Let's say you put one bushel of wheat out. A 10-fold amount of harvest would be 10 bushels, all right? One commentator said the average producing farmland in Palestine during the first century was 7.5 to 10-fold. That means that if you planted one bushel of wheat and you got 10 bushels back, that was a good year. That's a terrible year today. And Jesus uses this one as hyperbole, and when he says it produced a 100-fold, it's an unheard of multiplication of return. It's the greatest seen and manifested harvest you have ever even heard of. For the seed that was sown in the good ground yielded 100-fold, meaning that one bushel of wheat that you sowed onto your ground produced 100 bushels of wheat in return. Now let me say that again. One bushel of wheat. Jesus, when he says it, produced 100-fold. One bushel of wheat produced 100 bushels in return. Meaning that if I sow one bushel of wheat, I will get 100 bushels in return. Even today, you sow 3.5, maybe 4 bushels a week per acre in today's agriculture. You may get, on a good year, 110, maybe 115 on the best years. That's only a 30-fold return. Jesus said that when this seed fell on good soil, it was a 100-fold return. Unheard of amount of production when the seed fell on good ground. That's like a 400 bushel per acre wheat crop. If you don't know what that is, the world record right now for an acre of wheat is 231 bushels. 400 is what Jesus is talking about. An unheard of amount. So the parable, the story is very simple. So are sowed seeds. Some seeds fall on the compacted, beaten footpath. Doesn't even germinate. It gets crushed and trampled and eaten by birds. And then some seeds fall on this slab of limestone covered in a thin layer of dirt. And for lack of moisture or root, it burns up before it can produce anything. Some fall upon the roots of thorns that are in the ground. And those seeds start to germinate and they start to do good. But eventually they're overtaken. None of the first three soils that Jesus describes produce anything. They do not go from seed to harvest. They do not go from seed to maturity. They do not produce a crop. And then there is the good soil, which produces a crop, and not only produces a crop, but produces a crop that is amazing in return. You cannot deny that it was good soil. As he said these things, he calls out to everyone who is listening to him, "He that had ears to hear, let him hear." Which means that Jesus is about to deliver the punchline. Because a parable without an explanation is just a story. So he starts to explain the parable to those who are still around in verse 11. And the parable is this. Jesus is explaining the parable in verse 11. And he says, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. All right, so we start putting in the blanks. Right? What does this mean? What does this mean? So the seed is the word of God. In Matthew 13, verse 19, the same parable is told by Jesus. And it says the seed is the word of the kingdom. So the seed that Jesus is talking about is the word of God, the good news of the kingdom, the good news of the gospel, we would say. And just like the physical seed, the word of God contains all the necessary energy and components for life and fruit to mature. The seed is the good news of the kingdom of God. The seed is the word of God. Now the rest of the explanation that Jesus says is what happens when those who hear the word of God are manifested in these different ways. Remember what this whole thing is about. Remember, be careful how you listen. Be careful how you hear. So four general reactions of the heart to people who are spoken the word of God. I like this because Jesus explains to you, when you speak the word of God, this is going to happen. It's not always going to be good seed and good soil. Or good soil. It's always going to be good seed. But it's not always going to be good soil. And I have
But look at verse 12. The ones along the hardback footpaths, are the ones who have heard. And this is Jesus' explanation. Ones who have heard the good news, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Be careful how you hear. I'll give you an example of this that you want. Okay? A biblical example. John the Baptist, would you say that he sowed the good news of the kingdom of God?
Yeah, that would be a big one.
John the Baptist, that was one of his main things. He made the path straight and he announced the coming of the Messiah. He was giving the people the truth. Interesting thing is when you come to King Herod. Remember King Herod? Not so great of a guy. So King Herod hears John the Baptist. The Bible says that King Herod was fearful of John. Not only fear, this word means he was in awe of what John was speaking. Knowing that he was a righteous and holy man. And when Herod listened to John the Baptist, Herod enjoyed listening to him. Now just let that sink in. The Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 20, Herod enjoyed listening to John. Do you remember what happened to John the Baptist? Do you remember who cut off his head? The same guy who enjoyed listening to him. So it's not just about listening. Jesus says, be careful how you listen. Because even Herod listened, and he still cut off the head of the messenger. And he enjoyed the head of the messenger. So it's not just that you enjoy listening. Those who are represented by the beaten, combat, footpath may have enjoyed listening to Jesus preach. You may enjoy listening to the words of Jesus. You may enjoy listening to the explanations of Jesus, the parables of Jesus, like this. But the Word of God never got past their ears. It didn't grow roots. It didn't produce anything in their life. The Word of God never penetrated their heart.
Why? Jesus says why.
The devil comes and takes away that word from their heart so that they may not believe what he's saying. So we're told what the soil is in this parable in the first explanation. The soil that Jesus is talking about are the hearts of those who hear the word of God. The hearts of those who hear the word of God. And the word of God in this first example of the parable cannot penetrate the heart of the hearer. The word of God is not at fault. It's the heart of the one who is listening to it. The word of God is not powerless when it comes to being spoken to this heart and to this person. It's the hearer and the heart of the hearer that it is at fault. Now, it's not within me to make something grow. It's only within me to sow. I didn't mean for that to sound like a Dr. Seuss thing. It is not me that makes things grow. But it is me who has to sow. The whole parable is describing the condition of the heart of those who hear, these four different types of soul. It's not about the skill of the sower. Please get that. It's not about how good you are at sowing the seed. It's not about how good you are at broadcasting, making everything look all nice and neat. The seed of God is living and powerful and is constant. The seed, the word of God, is fixed and magnificent and has life and germination. And what Jesus is getting down to is the condition of the heart and the hearer when the soul or when the seed gets to them. The devil doesn't mind, okay, if you're hearing the word of God. The devil doesn't mind it at all. The devil doesn't mind if you hear the gospel message or if you hear about the kingdom of Christ. The devil just doesn't want you to believe it. You can enjoy it, all you want. Just like Herod enjoyed what John the Baptist had to say. The devil says, just don't let it take root. Don't let it produce anything. Don't let it bear any fruit. Satan wants to keep you away from giving any serious attention to the Word of God. And I think he's done a really good job of that. He wants to keep you away from giving any serious attention to the Word of God. And any other word that you hear is way more important than the Word of God. You do not think that he's done a great job of that. A hard, compact, concrete heart does the devil's work for him. You know that? When you have a hard heart, you've done the devil's work for him.
comes back, and when your heart is hard, it is just like that seed being sown on that asphalt out there. The power of that seed has not gone anywhere. It's still there. It's just the heart of the person who has not received it has let it go away. One preacher said, don't question the power of the seed. The issue is always with the soul. And it's true. So Jesus goes on to explain it even further. Luke chapter 8, verse 13. The ones sowed on the slab of limestone, right, covered in that thin layer of dirt, are those who, when they hear the word of God, remember these are hearts you're talking about, when they hear the word of God, they receive it with joy. But they have no root. And they believe for a little while, and in time of testing, fall away. In time of affliction. Matthew 13, 21, the same parable, Jesus uses the word affliction or persecution or tribulation when it comes to hearing the word of God, and they fall away. This is talking about an on-the-surface kind of hearing, kind of a shallow hearing of the gospel. It's a person who briefly or temporarily shows interest in the truth, even to the point of being joyous, even to the point of saying, yes, I understand. And then some type of testing or affliction or trouble comes, and the sun beats down on that seed that's on top of that slab of limestone. You know what happens when the sun beats down on that seed that's on top of the limestone and it has that little sprig, and then the moisture runs out and the scorching heat comes. You know what happens to that little seed? So there's a shallow soil that's exposed, and the reality is then shown underneath. Maybe this person never really counted the cost, never realized that following Jesus would cost them anything. It would cost them relationships, it would cost them friendships, or it may have cost them family, and they might make fun of you or turn against you. There's some pressure that Jesus says will come to those who are this type of heart. Some test which will come along, and they don't have the root, they don't have the solid system there, and the moisture dries up, and their heart towards God dries up, and their heart towards the Word of God dries up, and the seed is not produced. Be careful how you hear. Then there are ones who fell among thorns. This is interesting to me. I wish we had time to go through each of these, and I probably should have done that. But there are those who hear. These are the thorny ground. There are those who hear, but as they go on their way. So they've heard the word. They've heard the good news. They go on their way. So this is what's going to happen whenever Jesus gets done teaching. All these people are going to go on their way. And he says, as they go on their way, they are choked out by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and the fruit does not mature. This person who hears the word of God has a receptive attitude towards it, but then they've got their career, and they've got their desires for life, and they've got their bills, and they've got their retirement, and they've got their worries, and they've got their other cares for the world, and everything else comes into play except for what Jesus did for them on the cross. Every other word becomes so important besides the words of God. These are the hearers who appear to be doing everything good at first, all, you know, on the same road at first, but the weeds then start to grow up. And these root balls of thorns are choking them out, and you can see what happens. Their loyalty to God begins to waver. They start missing church for this or for that, and they don't really have to. And then they start missing the Lord's Supper on Sundays. They restrict or cut off their giving altogether. And as long as the weeds are allowed to stay in that soil, those weeds will grow. And they will continue to choke out whatever is there. And Jesus says, be careful how you hear. Because none of the hearts in the first three souls produce any fruit at all. They never mature. They never develop. You never see what the Word of God has done in their life. It's a very sobering thing. But Jesus leaves the best to last, okay? The hope. And then there are those who fell upon good soil that were hearing the word of God, and here's how Jesus explains it. They hold it fast in an honest and good heart. And you notice what happens? When they hold it fast in an honest and good heart, they bear fruit with much patience. Do you know how long it takes for you to produce anything out of your garden? Do you just go out and throw some seed and come out the next day and have a mayor? No. How about some potatoes? Well, it's not going to be a few months until we plant tables. You know that? I mean, you got January, February, March? I mean, you just throw some potatoes out in the field, and then the next day you come out and you're like, man, I don't want a tater. No, how long does it take for you to actually get something out of your garden? And how much work and time and effort have you put in between plant and harvest? How much daily growth is there between plant and harvest? There's nothing I can explain it any better than what Jesus did. But I want you to realize that this is what's going on in every congregation, every church, every conversation where the gospel is talked about our mission. This is what's going on every single time. These four different varieties of soil are in every single conversation about the gospel. Now we're back to this. Which heart am I? Which soil am I? Am I being careful to listen? Because here's what Jesus says. It's the whole punchline of the thing. It shows up in the fruit that it produces. The only soil that produced, that manifested, that you saw come to fruition, was the good soil. If there is no fruit of the gospel being born in your life, that means that you're one of the first three souls. So I'm going to narrow it down for you. If you have no gospel fruit in your life, you are one of the first three souls. Because you cannot miss a hundredfold harvest. It is unmistakable. If you grow 400 bushels of the acre wheat, people know it. They talk about it. They see it. So, if you are not bearing gospel fruit, you are one of the first three. Which one are you? And when you find out and admit which one you are, God already knows which one you are, by the way. When you admit and you know and you understand which one you are, it is then that you go to the sower. It's interesting, in Matthew's account, Jesus is the sower. You go to the sower, the one who is putting the seed in the field. And you know what Jesus does? He takes away all the stuff that doesn't need to be there. And the seed of the gospel falls on good ground and produces a hundredfold. So, actively listen to the Word of God. And here's your example as we come to a close. Mark 16, verse 16, verse you know very well if you've been here for any amount of time. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Alright? He that believes and is baptized will be saved. When I hear that, there is something that has to be manifested in the scene. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Alright? The way you hear that truth is to be seen. Same thing with repentance. Exact same thing. Whenever you get to a command in the Bible where God says, repent, which is a lot of places, repent. God wants everyone to repent. Acts 17, verse 7. That's the truth. Be careful how you listen. Because repentance is not just about you hearing that you're a sinner. It's about you turning from your sin. You see the difference? You don't just hear that you're a sinner. You turn from your sin. Be careful how you listen. How are you listening to Jesus today? If you need the soul of your life to cleanse so that you can produce a great harvest for the Lord, Jesus is the only way to do that. Don't you go ahead. Just go to your sin.